This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas.
Well, hello, East Texas, and welcome to In Focus. Some new voices for you today as compared to previous episodes. By way of introduction, I'm Jeff Rourke, host of the KTBB Morning News each weekday from 6 to 8 a.m. With me in studio is my morning show partner, the award-winning Melissa Kaiser.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
And our roundtable is completed by KTBB owner and general manager Paul Gleiser, himself an award-winning radio veteran.
Good morning, Jeff.
And on that subject, while we're talking about awards, let's start off with a little bragging. What do you say?
Well, why not? You know, if it ain't bragging if you've done it.
That's right. Texas Broadcast News Awards, presented by the Texas Association of Broadcasters. They held their banquet in Austin early in April, and KTBB and the Team Sports Radio took home 10 total awards. Paul, you got several for your paper conflict coverage.
I actually was awarded three times for the coverage we did in May of 2025 of the election of Pope Leo. Really exciting. It was fun to do, and we broke the news that it was an American Pope live on the air during Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, and they saw fit to award that, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
And you guys, I'm looking at two award winners here.
Well, yeah. Missy, you got the best radio newscast in Texas. You've been slaving away at the crack of dawn for 22 years now?
22 years, but I'd like to know what newscast that was so I could duplicate it. I mean, if it was award winning.
So let's find it and just keep playing.
Exactly. And then, of course, Bill Coates and Kevin Simon won a couple of awards for the Team Sports Radio for live play-by-play as well as their afternoon sports talk show, Sports Talk.
And you?
For morning trivia, yes, for editing some really random audio cuts together and making
very
it sound
well
like
done,
I knew what I was
way.
Doing.
Very well
and,
done.
And then, well, this is just to finish this brag fest, the thing that's most exciting is KTBB was awarded for overall broadcast excellence
absolutely.
In the state of Texas.
The one we're proudest of.
Very
exactly.
proud.
So really cool stuff. All right, let's get all of that chest thumping out of the way.
Absolutely. And folks, the reason why we do all this, of course, not for awards, it is to take care of you guys, to make sure that we provide you with all the latest updated news. As we say every morning, we want to make sure that you have the latest in news, sports, and weather. And on that subject, the latest news, some big stories this week. Starting off, I guess, with the big overarching story of the whole week, the third now assassination attempt on our presidents. At least possibly assassination attempt. We know he was the shooter was in the venue, shot someone with some buckshot. A Secret Service agent was taken down by the agents.
I mean, with the stuff he wrote, you know, his social media. I mean, it's clear that he hates the president, and he went charging through a security checkpoint. I don't think he was there to wish everybody a pleasant evening. Jeff, I don't know what it says about us as a society, but three attempts on the president's life in 2 years.
Sure. And, of course, he was a candidate the first two times, but as a former president, still carries the honorarium, the title of president.
Yeah,
so,
right. I just we've coarsened, and you'd like to think that we evolve. We get less savage the longer we go, and we seem to be going backwards, and I can't put a finger on why. I know that the hatred of Donald Trump far exceeds anything that I have seen in my lifetime of half the country disliking the president, which is kind of how it always works.
Yeah.
This is worse.
Yeah. So you and I have talked about this before. Do you think that, Missy, do you think this is something where it's Donald Trump himself that is so polarizing, or is it the reaction to Trump?
Probably a little bit of both, but I think social media is really fueling a lot of fires. I think keyboard warriors get online,
like
and we're really just feeding each other a lot of hate, and a lot of people act on hate.
Yeah. Well, and talking about hate, we have another story referencing that word coming up in a little bit. But this assassination attempt followed, of course, by a big scandal involving late night host Jimmy Kimmel. Missy, you're our resident comedy expert. Was he funny?
No, I am not. Thank you, though. That's very nice of you. You know, I used to love Jimmy Kimmel because he was funny at one time.
Yeah, back when he was funny.
It's all political now. There's no humor. It's not an entertainment anymore.
Yeah.
Jimmy Failla got off the best observation about late night TV today versus before. The laugh lines don't get laughs. They get applause.
Yeah.
That's true.
Great point.
Mm-hmm. You know, the laugh lines get applause. So it's quit being funny. And I'm old enough to remember, you know, the best days of Johnny Carson. And the genius of Carson was he kept the humor accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. He knew where to stop. And he was not there to change anybody's mind. He was not there to cause anybody to select one candidate over another. He was there to lampoon the whole thing.
Yes.
Funny came first. Yes.
Funny came first. And so the stuff was funny and, you know, it was good-natured. And we could all talk about it the next morning and say, did you hear Carson? And nobody was mad.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, now what are we going to do about it? You know, there's some, you know, we need to get Jimmy Kimmel fired. We need the Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, is talking about reviewing ABC's broadcast licenses. Mm. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Kimmel is a self-liquidating problem. The audience is shriveling. Mm-hmm. You know, Carson at his peak in a country with half the population had 20 million people a night. You win the day part now with 2 million.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, so, Carson had 20 million or more viewers every night in a country with half the population we have now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a self-liquidating problem. Fewer and fewer people watching. Just let the thing, let it fizzle out. That's my opinion.
And given that probably a lot of our listeners don't watch it, the joke was that Melania Trump was had the appearance of someone who was an expectant widow.
Had the glow of an expectant widow.
Okay. Which is a very chancy joke at best.
Well, yeah, and it was ill-timed because 2 days later somebody tried to kill her husband.
Exactly.
But,
he says it was a reference to their age difference.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
He might have set it up that way.
Sure.
Taking a little edge off of it. But, and if he didn't have all of the hatred and vitriol he's been spewing prior to that gag.
True, yeah.
We'd be able to take it a lot better than we do now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, pivoting to another subject that involves the president and the White House in D.C., something very historic this week, and that is the King Charles visit and Queen Camilla visit to D.C., and King Charles spoke to Congress in the context of, I'm trying my best, Missy, not to do a British accent right now,
Jeff,
because I really want to.
Just do it.
But the idea of you know, the power that was a colonial power from whom we broke 250 years ago, our big anniversary this year, and now the king is being invited to speak to our main legislative body. That's a pretty big moment.
No, it's pretty cool. So are you a royal or a non-royal, Melissa?
I'm a non-royal.
So you want
but
to...
I did grow up on Benny Hill, so if that says anything about...
So that explains a lot.
So what's your stance on the monarchy? Do you think it should still exist?
I have no stance. I really don't. I don't have an opinion. I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Well, we Americans, are a little bit fascinated with, mm-hmm. We specifically said we're not going to have royalty. We're not going to have title by birth. Mm-hmm. We specifically said that that's not going to happen here. There are no inherited titles in the United States the way they are in Great Britain. I have a very, very good friend, Sir Robert Calland. He is a member of the British peerage.
Wow.
And a great guy, but he was born to that title, and we don't do that here. Mm-hmm. But we're a little bit fascinated with it. I mean, we're a bit starstruck. We always have been. And we have a king who speaks our language, and we have so much in common. So we get kind of caught up in it.
Yeah,
we do,
yeah.
But there's a lot of scandals involved as well.
Yeah.
And that's what I get caught up. Okay, now that will pique my interest.
Running soap opera.
Yes.
And has been for at least 60, 70 years.
So. Yeah, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, for whom I have boundless respect, had boundless respect for that woman. She was a fantastic monarch. Not the best mom, if you look at the kids. I mean, some of the kids kind of jumped the traces. You know, they're not the best kids, and they don't reflect well on her otherwise stellar 60 plus years as the monarch.
Yeah,
but she'd be good at everything.
Yes,
no, that's true. But you know, the king came and spoke. You know, he always struck me as a real stiff. I mean, really, he does, but he got off some good lines.
Yes, yes, he did.
He was kind of funny.
He was, yeah. And in that room, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about the fascination that we have with the royals. I wonder if that's maybe just a part of the human condition, because in America, we don't have a royal family, a monarchy to look up to, but we have Hollywood, we have stand-up right. comedians, we have musicians. Mm-hmm. This week, they're celebrating in Minneapolis, or not celebrating, but remembering in Minneapolis the death of Prince, mm-hmm. the pop star, and you know, some other things like that. Of course, we lost David Allan Coe yesterday.
Yeah.
The country music world misses him, I'm sure. We look up to people like that, which is probably back to a previous comment. That's probably what gives Jimmy Kimmel the platform that he has.
Yeah, and
the weight.
And, you know, our royalty is celebrities.
Yes, yes.
And our problem is our celebrities are letting us down now.
Yes, yes. That's you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Right. I agree.
On a different subject here, another big scandal that's going on right now, this Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC. That was the hate story I was talking about. Of course, they're bread and butter for the last 30 years at least, even though they began with some nobler intent, civil rights, legal work and all that. For the last 30 years, they've been known for their hate map. And, you know, I've always said it's illegitimate because they're not on it. But, you know, they take various organizations across the country and label them, you know, as extreme or, you know, hate-filled organizations. In fact, it's strange some of the names that they put on this list, like the Family Research Council, Focus on the Family. If you're anti-abortion, if you're not, you know, extremely pro gay agenda, you're going to be on their list.
Well, and what they've done is so over the top. They were effectively paying arsonists to go set fire to houses so that they could come put the fire out.
Exactly. The ultimate straw man, propping up. It weakened at Bernie's.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And the Southern Poverty Law Center started like a lot of organizations like it with noble aims and noble intent, and trying to do the world good. And like so many of the things like that, it eventually becomes corrupt and turns into a racket.
Yes. Money laundering. In fact, folks, if you're not familiar with the story, this week a whole lot of charges came out, financial malfeasance in spades. But one of the more interesting stories and charges was that the SPLC had actually paid money to the Klan to encourage and extend some of their operations so that the SPLC could oppose it publicly and raise money off of it.
Paying people to set houses on fire
so
they could come put the fire out.
Propping up the enemy. Again, I come back to Weekend at Bernie's, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a good reference.
I mean, obviously, that's going to be something we're going to see fallout from that going on for probably weeks and months ahead. Who knows where it's going to land, but that's going to be very interesting. Something else interesting right now, back home here in Texas, this U.S. Senate race, very close. Could we go blue in Texas?
Well, that is the just about the ultimate dream of the Democratic Party is to flip Texas blue. They have been predicting it, you know, for cycle after cycle. I don't think so. Mm. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think it does say something about our current senator that he had to spend $100 million to stave off a primary opponent. Mm-hmm. I think, generally speaking, the safest job in the world is an incumbent senatorial seat. And Cornyn's fighting for his political life.
Yeah.
And it says something about how things have changed from the time that he won when he was a Texas Attorney General and got elected to the Senate. From the way things were then until the way where they are now, and the Republican Party has undergone a metamorphosis that he is late, in my opinion, in recognizing. I think he fully recognizes it now. He had to spend $100 million to stave off, and he still hasn't done it. I mean, he's trying to stave off a primary opponent that, you know, he's still got to win a runoff election.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're talking quarterback money there for this campaign. $100 million. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money for a job that pays $200,000.
Yeah, that's almost as much as Melissa's contract.
I
wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I know you did. I saw that look. I saw that glint in your eye. You know, we're gonna, as Trump always says, we'll see what happens. Because I can't. You know, people. Paul, what do you think is going to happen with the? I don't know. Mm-hmm. you would think that, you know, as much baggage as Paxton is carrying, and I'll say this about Ken Paxton, for my politics, maybe not yours listening, but for my politics, his policies, I'm all on board. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy with a lot of, you know, like a kind of a pig pen cloud dust follows him around.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think he would argue with that. I think he knows it. But he has a plausible chance of unseating an incumbent Republican senator, and that's kind of a big deal.
It is, definitely.
And, you know, the worry that the Republicans have is that it's so bitter that it creates an opening for Tallarico. And I won't say it can't happen. Mm-hmm. I will say I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I won't say it can't happen.
You know, I've always said I don't look at politicians as moral arbiters or anything like that. I look at them as people that we send up there to get a job done, whatever that is. And I don't mind a little rust on the wrench if it'll turn the nut.
Yeah.
And he's a rusty wrench.
Yeah.
But, he is. I think these pigpen clouds that you were talking about following people around, I think they're more common now. And we're not as appalled as we used to be.
Melissa, that's a great observation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and we got past, I think it started with Bill Clinton.
I think so.
We know, we said, well, okay, you know, what's the blue dress and the cigar? And we said, oh, well, what the hell? I mean, we kind of did.
He's a good guy.
So we've become numb.
Yeah.
A little bit to that.
Well, honestly, how bad can a guy be when he plays the saxophone? I mean,
well, there it is.
That's what it is. So.
You're right.
Well, hey, let me take this a direction that you may not have planned.
Okay.
Because I want to ask Melissa here because we have a good resource. Melissa, you are active on social media.
Yes.
You spend time in that space.
I do.
I think two things about social media, about Facebook, Instagram particularly. Number one, it is a particularly unsafe place for adolescent girls.
100%.
It is, because I had my daughter's now 26, but I watched what went on with that during her high school years.
Right.
It was ugly.
Right.
And scary and potentially very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
To her mental health. I mean, and we know that some, in the case of some adolescent girls, they pay the ultimate price.
You're right.
And I think generally, I've not been a big fan of social media because I think, to a large extent, it's a sewer.
It is a sewer. Absolutely, it's a sewer. I think about myself being in school and having social media. I don't think I would have survived.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, I just don't. We were mean to each other, but you knew face-to-face. It was face-to-face combat. It wasn't this online garbage. It wasn't being attacked by groups of people.
Yeah.
It is. It's a dump. It's a dumpster fire is what it is.
You know, and you think the idealistic view is that, you know, it brings us all together. We maintain our connections. Families that are spread across the country can all connect.
Right.
Friends maintain contact with each other, even as their lives put them on a diaspora across all these wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
But coming at the price of, you can sit in your underwear in your parents' basement and do terrible things to people.
Yeah.
Now, I don't do that personally.
But the thing is, as you just said, it's not face to face. I mean, it's, as Jimmy Fallon says, it's a fight club for people that don't want to get hit.
It really is. Absolutely, it is. And people become brave behind their keyboard.
Yeah.
And they say things they would never
say in public.
They would never say that.
Or they would pay some kind of a physical price for it.
Right.
We used to
have like a guilty conscience. You know, if I'd say something mean to someone, I'd feel terrible about it for the rest of my life.
But of course, that never happened.
It never happened. I'm just saying. But my gut keeps me from doing stuff like that. But these people, they don't have that.
What do you do if today you were in your high school years? Would you do what my daughter did? It took her a while to do this. She finally just unplugged. She said she turned off her Instagram. She said she just got away from it. She just walked away. It was really hard for her. But it would be hard. She said, Dad, but I feel better.
I'm sure she does. I think even adults have a hard time unplugging. Yeah. I mean, adults are just as addicted to social media as kids are.
Yeah.
And they just stay plugged in and ignore their kids.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's a tool. It's a tool. It's an escape.
Would you let your 13-year-old be on social media if you were a parent?
Yeah, she was. I mean, I don't want her to feel left out.
Now, that's the thing. Well,
right.
So you would permit it. If you were in the worst possible position a human can be in, that is to be the parent of a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
There is no worse existence in the world than that. So, parent of a 13-year-old today, would you let him be on social media?
I would, yeah, I would.
Even though you know how dangerous it is.
I would, yeah. But yeah. We would have to have a conversation and maybe some monitoring. I'm not really sure how that would look.
Yeah, I think if you lay the groundwork and if you instill the values first, then you can trust them to go on social media or the internet at large and, you know, hope for the best. I mean, of course, you do have to monitor, though. To quote Trump.
Well, you're raising kids. You're finally reduced to hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm. I guess you are, yeah.
You are finally reduced to that because you do everything you can. Mm-hmm. And how many cases do you know of raising kids? And you've seen good people raise their kids. The kids turn out to be just a walking hot mess.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Even though you look at the parents and say, those are good people. And they did the best they could. Look at that kid.
I've also seen the reverse, where you look at the parents and say, what happened there? And then the kids turn out to be great.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they respond.
Ultimately, it's a human being with agency, and the human being with agency can do anything he wants. And you finally have to just hope for the best.
You know, I'm having to deal with this right now because my youngest graduates this week from college. Mm-hmm. I have three college graduates now. So we've sent our last check to the university systems. But all that to say...
They're not off your payroll.
They're not, no.
I just want to disabuse you of any thought that they're off your payroll.
As long as there is auto insurance, no.
No.
I'm still on the payroll and I'm 50.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. But, you know, we were talking about this week, my wife and I. You know, the Bible talks about our children being arrows that we launch out into the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to make sure it flies straight, you know. And our responsibility is to ultimately let go of that bowstring. And we have to
point them in a good direction.
Point them in a good direction, and
gotta let go.
And that's hard, you know. When I have a daughter who goes to the gun range by herself, that's, you know, I'm used to being her range safety officer.
That's
inspiring. Now she's going by herself. I'm going, okay, you know. But and little thing, you know, driving, of course, the first time I gave her the keys and let her drive away for herself, that was tough. But
yeah, and did she wreck the car?
She did not. In fact, she's the only one who hasn't wrecked a car yet.
You know, I know my daughter wrecked her car three times.
Yeah.
You know, not terribly, but three times I had to get the car fixed.
Yeah, I've had a few of those. And my youngest has a lead foot like I do, so I was worried about that. She's actually a pretty responsible driver. But
so how are we going to wrap up the show?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got a little time left here. So what I wanted to talk about is something else that's going on here. Little darker story, I guess, but talking about raising kids and all that, the Camp Mystic situation down there in the Hill Country. Mm-hmm. Last year, the July 4th holiday weekend, of course, the flooding in the Hill Country, 27 kids, I believe, and counselors.
23 or 20-something children, you know, young girls.
Yeah.
And two staffers.
Yeah, and so we have now, of course, the Camp Mystic folks and other camps being grilled by the Texas legislature and all that, and I think justifiably so. But what it sparked in me was the question, do we go too quickly to blame in this country?
Yes, we do.
I mean, ultimately, Camp Mystic, regardless of the preparations they had, unless they had a Coast Guard cutter parked in the driveway, they might have survived this. But other than that, how do you plan for something like that?
You know, they call it an act of God for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel terribly for the operators of Camp Mystic. I live in a neighborhood where a whole lot of girls go to Camp Mystic. Our neighborhood is still festooned with green ribbons today.
Wow.
There's still all over where I live, there's green ribbons because, you know, so many girls, I forget, four or five girls of that 23 came from walking or short driving distance of my house.
Yeah.
Girls in my neighborhood have been going to Camp Mystic since I was in high school, that I know. I mean, it's just part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been life-changing experiences for those girls and a beloved place, and now it's not operating because of a flood that was just a confluence of circumstances that happens what has never happened before.
Yeah.
And with respect to blame, if you do all these things, if you put in the high-speed internet and you do all these things, how would that have changed things?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, how would they get them out of there in time?
If a wall of water comes in you in a matter of really in minutes,
mm-hmm.
how does all checking all these boxes that the state's making them check, how would that have changed things?
Yeah. Yeah,
and maybe it would have. I don't know. I don't know the details, but it's a question worth asking. At some point, you have to live with the reality that you take a risk the second you get up out of bed.
That's true.
I think this was for the parents, and it was really tough to watch some of this testimony. I think this is an outlet for them. I really just think it's an outlet for them.
The catharsis that they need to reconcile that their young daughter, who had her life in front of her, is now gone. And I don't know. I don't know that I would recover from that, and I would want something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
My emotions, and I cannot imagine what my wife would be like.
Yeah.
I think this is the risk that you run on something like this. The remedies that you seek are not logic driven; they're emotion driven.
Mm. Agreed.
Yeah,
they don't ultimately do what you wanted done.
Mm. This whole Camp Mystic thing made me think of course, Katrina years ago. I was telling Melissa the other day, I had a friend, he's passed on since, but a friend from Morgan City, Louisiana, grew up a good bit of his life in New Orleans, and just the thickest Cajun accent you can imagine. I couldn't be around him 10 minutes without imitating that accent because he was so colorful. But he we talked about Katrina when it happened, and you know, pretty much every time we met after that, he was dealing with family who were still recovering from all that. And he said that they had become numb to the weather reports, because mm-hmm. every time you know I were talking about this the other day with weather, mm-hmm. the weather reports always seem to be, it's so extreme, it's the worst ever, you know run
and you're
the
hearing
hills.
About it a week in advance too, so you're constant.
Yeah, and the folks in New Orleans in particular, they had gotten so anesthetized because they'd been hearing the big ones coming for 70 years, and mm-hmm. it never came.
Let me push back on that a little bit, because this I remember this because my daughter was about to start kindergarten. And neighbors had a block party on the weekend before school started, mm-hmm. and I was there talking about. I'm just talking to the other dads. I said, New Orleans is about to get clobbered, so I knew that this was a particularly bad storm. I'd seen the image on TV. It was a Category 5 when it was out in the Gulf, and you had 48 hours, and you could see the track. And where I faulted, this is where I say all the time, government will not protect you. Mm-hmm. You know, the school buses that Mayor Ray Nagin did not mobilize to move people out, probably because of what you just said. They're not. We might have had a hard time getting them on the buses.
Sure. Yeah.
Because they were just numb to storms in New Orleans. Which there's going to be a hurricane. It must be Tuesday. I mean, that mindset. But we knew with respect to Katrina that it was in a special class by itself, and still, not a whole lot was done prior to it hitting. And the thing is this. Here's the thing. The city withstood the storm. What it didn't withstand was the breaking of the levees.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the levees broke because they were poorly done, mm-hmm. because of the massive corruption around anything that gets done, any government project in Louisiana.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those levees were not built to spec.
Yeah.
And when they got hit hard, they failed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the spot where they broke, they were painfully thin.
Yeah, with the lake, the
Pontchartrain.
Pontchartrain.
Yeah,
sitting right there. Pontchartrain drained into New Orleans like a bathtub.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know what I think of anytime I see someone wading through water, like in Houston, flooding in Houston or wherever. I think, where are the snakes? Where are the snakes? People are just walking through the water, and there's got to be snakes.
It all comes back to snakes. Well, listen. On that note, let's go to something a little lighter. For you folks listening that maybe don't.
You and snakes.
I hate snakes.
You and snakes.
I think if I talk about them, they'll stay away.
Maybe they know you hate them, and
I don't know.
I think there's a line in the Bible: "I shall put enmity between thee and the woman." Right. There's enmity there, right?
Okay.
Anyway, so...
Well, you just went above my pay grade.
In the Garden of Eden.
Well, okay. All right, yeah, but wow.
Well, anyway, for you folks
maybe
who are listening this morning...
In this room.
You should be in this room.
Well, there we go. Each weekday morning at 7:29, Melissa does a segment called The Other Side of the News, and I want to ask her to pick one of her favorite stories from this week and kind of share it.
I don't know. There's been quite a few. I like the stories where people forget to put their clothes on. I do like those stories. I like the people who have had a few too many.
Mm-hmm.
Then they forget to put or they take their clothes mm-hmm. off. They're driving
because,
golf carts.
Because, if you've had a few, everybody wants to see you with your clothes
sure.
off.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the liquid courage thing kind of helps
with
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this week we were talking about a man on vacation in Egypt that was at a snake charming show.
Hmm.
And a cobra went up his trousers and bit him, and he died.
Wow.
Isn't that terrible?
That's terrible. Oddly funny, but terrible.
There were two cobras.
Ow.
He's got his eye on one cobra while the other one is, you know, the one
oh
is distracting
God.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, sneak attack.
It was a sneak attack, yeah.
Well, I was in Egypt, and I have a picture for five bucks. The snake charmer will let you watch him kiss the cobra.
Why?
Nice.
Why?
Well, the guy wanted the $5. The cobra's like, okay, I mean, it's a day at the office to the cobra, I guess, but... wow.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, whenever you get home, maybe you should take a closer look at that duffel bag that you brought back.
Yeah, so. Man, that's a very bad story.
That's not good.
Well, folks, on that note, we're going to wrap it up for this episode of In Focus. We appreciate you joining us. Tune in each weekday morning from 6 to 8. Catch Melissa and me on the KTBB Morning News. Thank you for listening.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. We thank you for listening. Join us again next week.